Welcome to the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin. Joining me is Daniel Shapiro, a former U.S. ambassador to Israel, and today a senior fellow at the Institute for National Security Studies at Tel Aviv University. A decade ago, a top figure in the military wing of Hamas was found dead at a hotel in Dubai, where the police chief blamed the Mossad, Israel's foreign spy service. Israel never officially admitted complicity, but budding unofficial relations with the United Arab Emirates were badly damaged. You have been quoted as saying that Israel started efforts to repair those ties about a year and a half later. This coincides with your appointment as ambassador to Israel. Were you involved, and if so, how?
In 2010, a Hamas operative, a senior arms dealer named Mahmoud al-Mamkhouch, was assassinated in Dubai. The United Arab Emirates blamed Israel, blamed the Mossad for carrying out the assassination. And what had been already active, quiet, secret relations between Israel and the UAE were largely put on hold. Frequently, their representatives would meet in Washington in hotel rooms. At times, they would keep the United States informed of those conversations. But after that event with Mabhouh, the UAE cut off all such conversations. There may still have been some very back-channel intelligence discussions, but much of what was being discussed in the diplomacy, in the diplomatic channels, was put on hold. And it took a significant amount of time with the assistance of the United States to be restart those discussions. The leader of the UAE, Mohammed bin Zayed, felt personally betrayed that, as he saw it, Israel had taken this action on his soil, humiliating him. He was not prepared to restart the discussions until first he received an assurance that nothing like that would ever happen again. And second, that he would gain, the UAE would gain access to certain Israeli security technologies that it had been seeking access to, but Israel had not yet approved. Again, the United States accompanied those discussions. Eventually, they became bilateral again between the U.S., between Israel and the UAE, and they solved those problems themselves, but with strong encouragement and some assistance from the U.S. administration that I served in.
Mr. Ambassador, what were Israel's first moves to help patch up the relationship?
The first moves were an exchange of discussions indirectly through the United States, which allowed the UAE to consider that it may be able to gain a guarantee from Israel that it would not conduct operations on UAE soil. And that it was open to discussing some of the military technology acquisitions that the UAE was interested in. Again, that was done indirectly. That was done with the assistance of U.S. officials, and I was among them. And eventually, that matured into direct Israeli-UAE conversations. But it took some number of months before the UAE leadership was ready to resume direct conversations.
You are listening to Daniel Shapiro, a former U.S. ambassador to Israel, and today a senior fellow at the Institute for National Security Studies at Tel Aviv University. You continued to serve as the U.S. envoy to Israel until January 2017, so you were in a position to watch as those relations improved. What did it take? Money, intelligence, access to high tech. How long did it take? And did Israel ever tell the Emiratis that it was indeed behind the killing?
Once the relationship was patched up and they resumed the conversations where they had left off and in fact took steps forward with the additional technology transfers, we watched through the rest of the Obama administration, and it has certainly continued since then, as this relationship became more open. They made fewer attempts to hide that they had direct conversations. The Israeli ambassador and the UAE ambassador in Washington would frequently be seen together in public at events, sitting at tables at large dinners, or even having lunch together in restaurants. It was more openly acknowledged that Israeli businesses were going to Abu Dhabi and Dubai, often with the assistance of Israeli citizens who had third country passports, but increasingly in more recent years, direct participation by any Israelis, including Israeli officials, when in 2015, the International Renewable Energy Agency opened its offices in Abu Dhabi. Israel was allowed to open a mission there to send ministers to that conference to essentially begin to operate a de facto embassy, you might say. And then even more recently than that, we've seen Israeli sports teams competing at competitions in the UAE, even having the Israeli flag and the Israeli national anthem on display at those competitions. So step by step over the years, we've seen this relationship come out of the shadows, take on new dimensions, technology, business, security, intelligence, to the point where it was obvious that Israel and the UAE had a mutually productive relationship that they really didn't feel the need to hide anymore. The big step of normalization, of course, was awaiting a decision that seemed to be facilitated by Israel taking the threat of annexation in the West Bank off the table. To my knowledge, Israel has never formally acknowledged that it was behind the killing of Mabhouh, and the UAE did not necessarily ask for that or need that. What they needed was an assurance that it would not happen again, and then the relationship has progressed from that point in 2011 until the big breakthrough last week.
Ambassador Daniel Shapiro, thank you for joining me at the Media Line. I'm Lawrence Rifkin.